Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for us. Lord, as we come together this morning, we call upon your Holy Spirit, your anointing. Lord, your presence. Quicken our mind. Help us to hear from you and to receive everything that you have for us, that we may appropriate, Lord, what is ours, what you have done for us, that we may see it, Lord, manifested in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. So we've been talking about the authority that God has given us. And just to connect a bit with the last things we were talking about, and the scripture that I was referring actually a few minutes ago in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, says, "Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall be by any means hurting you." That is Luke 10:19. The idea is very simple, that we had to come to the place in which we realize this truth and we believe this truth. Because when we believe, when we are have that truth recorded or planted in our heart, then we actually come to experience it. As I said recently and some other times, and I want to stress this, trusting God is important and give us peace, but doesn't give us necessarily victory. To have victory, we have to have faith. And trusting God, we can say, oh, God is going to take care of everything. Well, it's true, but we have a part to play. If we make foolish things, and we expect always God to fix up our silly decisions and mistakes, we are going to be disappointed. He takes care of us to the degree of ignorance that we have. It's like a parent. A parent, when they have a baby, what do? Well, they have to look after the baby, and they have to do everything possible to, because the baby cannot look after himself. So a loving father or a loving parent does everything they can to look after the child and make sure that nothing happens to him. But when he grows up, the degree of protection that the parents can give to the child decreases. And there are some expectations that the father or the mother has for the child to make the right decisions, because he is responsible for his decision. In a way, the same is true. There is a parallel spiritually in our walk. See, as we grow and develop spiritually, God expects from us more, so that we don't do the silly things that we did when we didn't know any better and put all our things in our mouth. We need to learn to discern and make the right decision and have the right ideas and agree with what the Word of God says, so that we develop in understanding and we acquire wisdom. This is why the Bible talks so much about wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to know what to do in the situations we are in. The fact is, sometimes some Christians, they don't grow up or they don't want to grow up. You see, that's the real problem. That they try to get God to do everything, to take care of them and everything else. They want to go around in diapers after they're, you know, been Christian for 30 years. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But the point is, there is this tendency, and it goes with some theology that is wrong, that God is going to take care. Well, God is going to take care to the degree that he has to take care. But to the degree that you had to take care, he expects you to do something. This is what has given us authority. You see, has given us authority so that we are co-workers with him. We work together with God, and God expects us to do our part to achieve His purposes. Otherwise, why does He need anybody to go around sharing the gospel? Poof! And people get saved. Well, it doesn't happen that way. Okay? He sent people to others to share. And to do that, you know, you also have to know also how to connect, how to communicate, how to tell the truth, how to help people to be able to see, how to break through the bondages that they have so that they can receive it. So there is a part we play and a part we are responsible for. See, this is something that unfortunately many people try to blame God for everything. When instead, we should take some responsibility for what we can do and God expects us to do. This is why He has given us authority. That's why Jesus, you know, the Great Commission is all about that. He has given us authority, therefore, you go and you do it. See, that's why we are the body of Christ. You see, here, the scripture says that He has given us authority, okay, this is authority, all authority in heaven and earth, against, you know, scorpions, the serpent, there's nothing else, a representation of the power of the enemy. Our authority is greater than the power of the enemy. And the power of the enemy, as long as we are connected with God and we are operating the right way, cannot touch us. But He's going to try. It's not by default. We have to know where we stand, and sometimes we have to push it back. We have to take a position. We have to exercise that authority. The fact that we have authority and we do nothing with it doesn't help us. We have to realize the things we come against, the things that are, you know, the problem. Okay? We have to realize that the way to fight the battle, the way we deal with these things, is not according to our own strength, but it's according to God's authority. That means that behind that authority, there is His power. So there is much more than what we can do in our own physical strength and our abilities. It's God backing us up because He has given us His authority. And we have to fully realize that. Otherwise, what we do is we get depleted trying to do things when instead it's not us even. See, some people say, go and pray for others, do other things, and they get depleted. And there is a problem there. They don't understand it. It's not them doing it. And so they put their own energy when instead, you know, it's the power of God flowing through them that does the work. That doesn't mean that, you know, you can go continuously. I mean, sometimes, you know, physically you need to recharge, but the point is, it's not your strength, it's not your power. It's the authority that He has delegated to you and the power that is backing it up. It's God's power, which is infinite. See, we can do only that much anyway, even with God's infinite power, because we limit God by our unbelief or by what we believe. It's better said. Okay? Now, Ephesians chapter 6 says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. See, it's in His power that we have to do. You know, actually, the word power there is different. You know, generally, the dunamis, and this is said with kratos, which actually means the vigor. Now, let's go a moment to 1 Peter. Because it talks about just this. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. It says, casting all your care upon Him who cares for you. And that means, you know, starting with the point, don't be afraid, don't be worried. Worry is sin. And Most of the people worry all the time and they do not realize they're sinning. Because worry is nothing else than believing the wrong thing. It's not faith. You cannot worry and be in faith. Everything that is not of faith is what? Sin. So when you are starting to worry, you are giving in to things that are contrary to what the Word of God says. Probably one of the things that are more repeated in the Word is fear not. Why? Because fear paralyzes you. Fear stops your ability to do anything. Fear doesn't allow you to be the person that God wants you to be. Okay? So casting all your care. And this is something that we have to learn to do. As we get confident in the authority that we have within ourselves, as we get confident on the fact that who we are in Christ, as we get confidence of that actually the power that is behind that authority that we have, then if we really start believing that these things cannot touch us, why should we be worrying? See, worrying is a question of doubting, it's a question of questioning, it's a question of believing that, well, you know, maybe I can make it. And when you do that, you open yourself up to the deception of the enemy. See, that's the way he works. That's the way he hinders us from being able to do the things that God calls us to do. So, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And then goes on, but be sober. And this is not, doesn't mean that you don't be drunk. You know, it's you know, the word there, the better translated would be calm. Relax, the way I say often. Because the people try to do in their own strength and they are trying to all worked up, try to get God to do something when instead God does it if you get out of the way. So just relax. It's the first thing I say when I pray for people, when I see them all trying to get stuff from God, just take it easy and relax. You are in the way. All right? So be sober. Be vigilant. That's the thing we had to do. I mean, we had to be aware of what's going on. That's what vigilant means. We had to be conscious of what's happening on a spiritual level, conscious of what's happening inside ourselves, what that position is at that particular time. Are we in faith or are we in doubt? Are we believing the word of God or are we afraid that it's not going to work? I can make it. Or, you know, what's going on there? That's the vigilance that we have to have. Are we caving in or are we just taking a position and says, no, I shall not be moved. So, it says, because your adversary, the devil, walk like a roaring lion, seeking whom may devour. The idea is very simple. Yeah. He is like a roaring lion. He's not a roaring lion. He lost his teeth. All right? So, don't be afraid of his roaring because it's just empty noise that he's trying to put in your head so that you get distracted, so that you start believing it. So you take a position and you say, no, I'm not going to be moved. Go around and you're a lost cause. And Jesus won the victory. And I'm standing on his victory, not my own. It's not my strength that I come to you against. It's his strength. It's not my victory. It's his victory. And you take that position and you don't let anything else move you. See, that's the thing. This is why you cast all your care, all your worries, all your things there, and you realize that this is just a fake, and the only thing he has to do is to make, you know, to distract you and to deceive you. Seeking who he may devour. And that's the only fight that you really have. And then you have to take a position. It says, resist And actually resisting is stand against him. Steadfast in the faith. You see, steadfast in the faith, you know, the people make it so complicated. You stand on the truth that he lost, and you got the victory in Jesus. Simple as that. You don't let yourself, your thinking, your idea, your emotions, and your emotions come after your thinking. But, you know, it starts with your thinking. If you start agreeing with him, he is going to scare you or affect you or affect your emotions, and you are sucked into his trick, and you believe his lies, and you then end up caving in because it looks like a big lion. And you know what you look at? Becomes big. The closer you look at it, the bigger it is. Instead of looking at the lion that is really actually useless and lost, look at God and make God big instead of the lion. He is bigger than the lion. The word says, the greater is who is in you than who is in the world. Do you believe that? Or you believe that this guy is so powerful that he's going to just eat you up? Well, it's your choice. It's your position. Resist. Take a position and oppose what he's saying to you and to anybody else. That's the way. He's a deceiver. And the only way he can beat you is by deceiving you. That's the only way he wins. You know, what do you do with a deceiver? You don't listen to them, because if you follow their logic, you're going to end up believing them. That's their specialty. They're con artists. Steadfast in the faith, knowing in the same suffering. Actually, the word suffering, anyway, means the same type of emotions, the same type of feelings. You feel under attack when those feelings, everybody can feel it sometimes, are experienced by the brother looked in the world, everybody else. So don't worry about, don't let yourself be sucked in by the reasoning or by the roaring or by the things that make appear to you of the whatever the physical things that happen around you. It sounds like, you remember when Jesus got into the boat and fell asleep, and the wind started blowing, and everybody was scared there, and was afraid, and Jesus woke up and said, what's the matter with you guy? I mean, that was my Bible translation, but that's essentially what he did. Got up and started and all the things. I mean, he just did nothing else and exercised his authority. But he had given them authority. Why didn't they do the same thing? They could have, instead of being surprised that Jesus did it. Now, there are situations that happen. I can quote you even recent time. Just not long ago, I was reading about Dawi. I don't know if you know about him. At the end of his ministry, he got mixed up. But at the beginning, he was okay. And he was a Scottish minister that ended up in Australia, where there is was at the beginning of, I think at the end of 1800, and there was a bubonic plague there. And all his congregation was dying on him. He got fed up and kicked the devil on his back, and the bubonic plague stopped. He got fed up. There are so many situations in which people got fed up and things stop right there. But the reason why this is an extra story, but the one I wanted to tell you is that he was traveling back and forth from Scotland to Australia quite a few times. Those days, the ships weren't, boats weren't that good as today. So there was some time, lots of strong tempest coming or this type of things. 5 times he was there traveling, and the situation was getting bad, and he got on top of the boat and said to the storm, stop. and five times it stopped. Authority, isn't it? Wasn't his authority. I mean, can you see those sailors running those boats? Wouldn't that convince them there was something more than the alcohol they were going to take at the ports when they were coming out? I mean, there was a better high that they could get. I mean, that's just some of the story that happened, you know, but there are so many things of this type that happens today. I could tell you a few more, but that is the example of exercise, the authority that is given to us when we come to realize what we have. It just doesn't happen because we are trying. Or because it's we like the theology, or it's easy, or I like the power. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the fact that you are operating in the power of God, and God is using you to achieve his purposes. Hallelujah. So, let's continue here. And it says, go on, and may the God of all grace... I mean, the God of all grace, you see, you can take that in many different ways, but really, it means that all the grace that you need, God has it. There is nothing that you need that he cannot provide. Anything you need. So, you know, the fact of remembering, remind yourself that is the God of all grace. Anything I need, he has it. And the only thing I had to do is to connect to receive it. Who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, and after you have gone through the experiences of suffering, or gone through the experience or feelings for a while, he will perfect, that means repair you, fix you up, established, confirming, strengthening, and settling you up. This is what the bottom line, resist. Stand firm. Don't get moved. Don't look at the circumstances around you. Don't look at what the lion is trying to convince you that he's going to heat you up. No, you say you can, you don't even have teeth, you cannot do anything to me. But he's going to try. And if you listen, if you go by what you see sometimes, what you hear, what other people say, what even your experience in the past has been, he gets you. And this is what the way he gets most of the people. But know your ground and resist or oppose him. This is the way you can win the battle. Don't need to fear anything, because God is backing you up as long as you're connected with him. I remember when I was saved at the very beginning. I didn't need any teaching or anything from anybody. The only thing I was getting is from reading the Bible. I wasn't connected to anything that meant anything. But I was reading my Bible because he told me to do that. And I remember, and I had problem with fears in those days. I mean, I have lots of fears and lots of phobias and stuff like that. And the Lord was ministering to me and taught me how to fight those things. And I would go, and I had this scripture that I quoted millions of times. I remember driving the car and repeating this scripture to myself because fear would come. And it says, what then shall we say of these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? It's not that complicated. You can memorize the scripture. You don't need to even to know the old. Just remember the last part of it. But that is where you stand your ground against the attacks that are coming against you in that particular area. And you know, any way that the devil gets in, it uses fear no matter what. He just comes to you and just get you scared up, and you open the door And after he was worried and I'm going to start believing all the lies that ego is telling you, and you just are depleted of all the energy and the power of God. And you stand firm and says, no, if God is for me, who can be against me? And if you have to repeat it a million times, do it a million and one time. Because sooner or later, he gives up. The way you do with a businessman that comes to the door and tries to sell you the new, you know, the vacuum cleaner. You just use a method that's been determined that works very well, and you have to do it 8 times. He says, no, thank you, I'm not interested. And they keep talking. He says, no, thank you, I'm not interested. After the 8 times, generally they desist and go. You take a position. They're like the devil. They're trying to sell you something you don't need. They're good. And you just take that position and you stand firm on your ground and they leave. You just give them an inch. They get take a yard. And then you find yourself with all these pieces of equipment in the house that you don't need. And the only person you have to blame is yourself. Okay? So, stand your ground. If you want another one to repeat to yourself, it doesn't matter what topic. You know, this you apply this all the time. What do you do? The way Jesus did. You are attacked. You are going to be, the devil is trying to convince you something is wrong. You come up with a scripture and you throw it in his face. And the other one that is always good is 1 John 4:4. It says, you are God's little children and you overcome them. Are we? Absolutely, if we stand the ground. See, it's a past tense. It's not that you are going to overcome them. You already, you know, he has already lost. He lost already. You have overcome them. Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. You say, you know, how I'm going to fight the battle. You don't need to memorize 25 scriptures. Memorize those 2 scriptures and stand the ground. Anytime it comes to you and fear starts trying to, we can be tempted. The fact that we are tempted doesn't mean that we are giving in. There is a difference between when we are tempted and we doubt. That the thought comes to your mind doesn't mean that you are doubting it. If the Lord told you, well, you are healed, and the thought comes to you, now maybe I'm not healed. That's not doubt. That's temptation. You take a position that says, no. Buzz off. The word says, by stripes, I'm healed. And you stand the ground. If you go around and say, well, maybe, you know, look at this. This hurts here and there. Well, then you are giving in and he's taking over and you accept that thought. You see, you have to accept the thought before you are in unbelief. But when you take a stand, it doesn't matter what thoughts come to you, you just don't let it stay there. You oppose that the same way as Jesus did. God says, and you just throw it in his face. And those is, you know, even those 2 scriptures are enough to fight most of the battle you had to fight. Now, the point is, the basis of all this is the fact that Jesus got the victory already. You see, it's not your victory. You stand on his victory. See, in Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, it says it very clearly, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. You see, he made a spectacle. It's like taking in a procession in victory. He had a victory, and he had just stripped their power, their armor, their things, their ability to do anything. So, the fact that he has no teeth is true. They have been taken off. Just start to see sometimes, you know, we need images in our mind to be able to connect with some truth. Instead of seeing the devil as something terrible, see him as a messed up lion without teeth. You know, it makes you laugh when you think of him in that way, you know, with some patches and so on, you know, like some bandages all over. It's been beaten up. But you see, images help us to take that position. You cannot take seriously somebody. That's right. You tend to take somebody that looks like a beaten up lion, you know, just without teeth, trying to roar, and it doesn't even have strength to do that. Amen? You see, that helps you. You see, this is, he has the strategy, but we can get better strategies. And our strategies come directly from the Word of God. From the Word, we can know what to do in those situations. We take a stand, and he has to buzz off. Are you still with me? Okay, so Jesus stripped them of all the power, the principalities, and the stuff. And you know, if you go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 21 says that Jesus is far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only on this age, but that also in the one which is to come. So, he's done. They are done. And so he has finished. So this is the authority that and the victory that we stand on. And we have to appropriate that for ourselves, because, you know, verse after, Ephesians 1:22 says, and he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. The fact is that the church is his body, put it under his feet. That means it's under our feet. That's why before he said, you can stand or you can step on scorpions and serpents, and in no way they shall hurt you. And at that time, he had not done that. It's already in anticipation of that. The church which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Praise the Lord. Past tense, it goes referred to as a being happened already. And on that thing that happened already that you stand on. We have to have a revelation. We have to have understanding. We have to have appropriate that truth, and it has to become reality to our heart. So that we don't go by what we are or what we are, our experience has been in the past, but we go from what he has done and what he has achieved and becomes a reality to us. We don't go by ourselves. We are not alone. One of the things he's going to try at you is, well, you know, the other was Jesus, but look at you, you're a mess. Which he said, well, I'm not going by the mess I am. It has nothing to do with me. You deal with him. I am coming with his authority. Now, to continue on that, on Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 1 says, and you he has made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, according to the princes of the power of the air. In which you once walked, according to the curse of this world, according to the princes of the power of the air, the spirit which is now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also you are conducted yourself in the lust of your flesh. You see, that's the thing. It goes the way it works. It's on the lust of the flesh. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we are by nature the children of wrath, just as all the others. But God, who is rich in mercy. Can you say rich in mercy?
Rich in mercy.
What does it mean, is rich in mercy? That he is just, what do you think? The fact that he is giving to us abundantly, more than what we deserve. Okay? Because of his great love, with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, even when we were as messy as you can get. Dead in trespasses. How more messy can you get than that? Hello? Says, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. When we were at the worst of we can be, because of His rich mercy, He made us alive in Christ. What more can He do? He has done everything that needed to be done. And we had to accept that. We had to believe that. You see, the basis for us being any difference is different is believing that He has done what He said He has done. That's faith. That's believing what He has done, so that the faith can manifest itself as we accept that we are different, are not what we were. We don't want to be the way we were. And we are not anymore the way we were, because we are not. Because He has done it. It's not our works. It's not our trying. It's not our trying to do things. It's what He has done that made us different. And we have to believe that. You see, the only way that we become different is when we believe that that is true. And when we doubt that, we are in sin. I mean, we stop ourselves. See, what sin is, nothing has been separated from God. So, you know, we are separated from God, we cannot receive what He has done, and we are stuck where we are. We were. It's not by our goodness that we please God. Nobody, by their goodness, can please God. The only thing they can do is be religious. And that's death. Now, when they believe God, they're going to start to walk right. Because God is going to empower them to be righteous. And this is the topic we're going to talk next. Righteousness. Getting the righteousness of God in us. See, that one makes the difference. See, righteous means as it should be. That's what it means. That's the meaning of the word. So when we are righteous, is that we are the way we're supposed to be. And we cannot be the way we're supposed to be by ourselves. It's God that makes us righteous. It's Jesus' righteousness that is imparted to us. And it's not theology. This is a reality. It's a truth that is manifested in our life. See, we become the way we're supposed to be. And that's the introduction for next week. And with that, we close for today. Amen? Amen? Now, we need to win the battle in our life. Not only in our life, but the life of the people we come in contact with. We need to shake the lion off their back, because they cannot do it themselves. This is why Jesus sent His disciple to do it. And it's part that we play. It is not just, but you know, you can shake somebody lion's back from their back if you cannot shake it your own. All right? So you start as you received, give. Or give as you receive, the way Jesus said it. Amen. We close for today. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the victory, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your righteousness. Thank you, Lord, that you, Lord, conquered all the enemy, that, Lord, the greater one is inside us, that no one can, these things cannot even touch us as we trust in you and as we open ourselves up to you to allow you to transform our life. And we just praise you and thank you, Lord, because we know, Lord, that You are the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, and every knee shall bow to you in Jesus' name. Amen.